Good morning. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we gather before you today, and we ask, Lord, that you open up our eyes and our hearts, and may we be receptive to your word this morning, God. As we read, Father, may we learn to live by your word and really be fed this morning and be energized and be refreshed as we spend time with you. We thank you and pray these things in your son's most precious name. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. Okay. We can talk about two completely unrelated things today, but they're about the passage. So this passage is fairly well known. It's often quoted in marriages, in weddings, and if you go to people's houses, you'll see that plaque of love is patient, love is kind. What do I want to say about that? It's not misquoted, I would say, but a lot of times it's kind of taken out of context. I mean, it doesn't, just because you put that love is verse 4 to verse 8 passage onto a plaque, it doesn't make it any less relevant, because yeah, this truly is love. But in the context of what Paul is talking about, he's talking about spiritual gifts, and in light of chapter 12, when people are coveting certain gifts or thinking that certain gifts are better, what they're doing is, the gift is the end. That is the purpose of kind of their spiritual life. And Paul is saying, like, no, it's really not about the gift at all. It's about building up the body. And then he goes on to this discourse about love. Because if you have these gifts, you covet all these things, without love, it's all pointless. He talks in chapter 8 previously where he talks about knowledge. You have all this knowledge, that's great. But if you have love, if you don't have love, then it's all pointless. Because you need love in order to build up the church, in order to edify one another. That is the purpose. And here he continues on that theme where you need love in order to edify. So all these gifts, if there is no love, there is no point. Hence the clanging cymbal or the noisy gong, or that he is nothing without love, even though he has all this faith or gifts of prophecy, or even if he is super generous, whoever it is, if they are super generous, without love, there's no point. Because you're just, I don't know, wanting to show off or whatever it may be. Okay, so that's kind of the context of what Paul is writing to. I'm going to talk about the latter part of chapter 13. It's probably starting with verse 8. So there's a kind of an abrupt kind of shift typically for people who read just verse 4 to verse 8, like, oh, love is so nice. And all of a sudden, they're like, what? Why are they all of a sudden talking about prophecy? And we know in part, we prophesy in part, and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. So you have to really think about what the purpose of spiritual gifts are. Right? They are to edify the body of Christ. Right? Now, what Paul is talking about is when Jesus comes back, there's no more need to edify the body of Christ because the body of Christ is complete. You can turn to, or you don't have to turn there. I'll just turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. He's talking about other spiritual gifts here as well. Chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Right? That's what spiritual gifts are for. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of God. So spiritual gifts are used to build everyone up until we all become mature, until we attain to the fullness which comes when Jesus returns. That's what spiritual gifts are for. It's during this entire period where we are waiting for Jesus to return to build up each other, to build up ourselves, to build up the body of Christ. And so Paul is saying here, we know in part, we prophesy in part. All these spiritual gifts are just temporal things. These actually won't last. And so to continually seek after all these spiritual gifts, you're really seeking after the wrong thing. It's not the ends. It's the means to an end. It doesn't terminate on just this spiritual gift. And so that's why Paul goes, you know, all these things, they will be done away with. Right? A lot of, there's going to be a stream within the church they're called cessationists that might not necessarily believe in the present ministry, the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit. Like, they'll be like, you know, SP, you guys are a cult because you guys prophesy and there's no more prophecy anymore. And, you know, there's, you charismatics are crazy. And they will actually point to this passage to as their proof that there is no present day ministry of the Holy Spirit, as how we would talk about it in SP. And what they say is in verse 10, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. And so what they say is that the spiritual gifts, all these signs, like healing, miracles, signs and wonders, prophecy, all these things, they were only for the apostolic age, meaning for the time during the apostles and the early church. And it was only used so that the church would be formed until the church became perfect, or until the Bible was formed, until the canon of the Bible, what we have now, was completely written. And so the argument is that the perfect, meaning either, depending on who you talk to, they say either be the church or the Bible, that's what Paul is referring to. When the Bible is complete, spiritual gifts ceased. I'm like, well, it's kind of not true because we still see spiritual gifts happen. And they're like, well, okay, their concession to that is you cannot call upon spiritual gifts like you charismatics would say we do. I'm like, okay, you know, it's fairly clear in the passage that Paul is talking about the return of Jesus. He goes, now, this is verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. So back then, they didn't have mirrors like we do now. We're like, oh my gosh, I look so beautiful. Right? They had pretty much like a bronze shield, because they didn't have glass that would actually reflect like these mirrors here. They would just have this kind of imperfect reflection. And so they would see dimly. They wouldn't be able to see clearly all the details in reflection. That's why Paul's writing, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then later when Jesus comes back, I will know fully. I will be able to see Jesus just as he is. I will be able to know God fully, just like God knows me fully now. When Jesus comes back, our relationship will be restored where I will see clearly. Because you have to think about spiritual gifts. What, it's to encourage one another, to know who God, to reveal parts of who God is. Like when people give us encouraging words, I'm like, oh, how did you know? Because it's God that is speaking, because God knows us fully. And it helps us understand who God is more and more. But when Jesus comes back, we have that restored relationship to God. There is no more need for prophecy. Like, I feel like God is saying to you, like, no, just go talk to God directly. Like, it's so much more than, more now, more than now. Now we can pray, you know, we know, okay, I feel like God is saying this to me, or I know God is saying this to me, but you're never, that 100% sure. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a need for faith. But when Jesus comes back, there is no more faith because you can see, right? You know for sure, 100%, God is right there. And so that's what Paul is talking about. All these spiritual gifts will disappear. That's why seek love, because that will continue on for eternity. Okay, that's the first thing I want to talk about. Second, okay, completely different. All right, let's go back into the love is patient, love is kind passage. Verse 4 to verse 8. The one thing that really stuck out to me was in verse 5. Love does not act unbecomingly. Okay. Unbecomingly, I had to look up the definition just now. It means inappropriate. Let me see if the definition is still here. Adjective, not flattering, especially of clothing or a color. Okay. Or of behavior, not fitting or appropriate, unseemly. Right? So it's saying love does not act in an inappropriate manner. Okay. What does inappropriateness look like? It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. And this last one really stuck out to me. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. I'm very, a lot of times, by the book. And so when a wrong is suffered, even if I incur wrong onto someone else, I'm like, okay, yes, punishment must be served, or there must be some sort of justice or retribution or maybe those are the wrong words. There must be some kind of consequence, right? And so I was thinking about it, like, there's so many times where there is a wrong suffered, even if it's not upon me, where I see something and I feel like, all right, something must be done here. There must be some sort of consequence for this. Like, I don't know, you see people on the street who kind of brush by people, or people who don't give up their MTR seats. I'm guilty of that myself sometimes. But there is some sort of wrong that is suffered, and we think in our heads, man, there something must be done about this. And when I read this verse, seemingly it tells me that I should just let it go. And as someone that really follows the rules, that really irks me and rubs me the wrong way. Because I'm like, how can we let this go? Justice must be done. And the more I think about it, I don't think love necessarily just turns a blind eye to it. Because the way I initially read this was just turn a blind eye to it. Because love covers a multitude of sins. And this is in 1 Peter. That Peter's writing. But love does cover so many things. But I don't think that's what the intent of love is. It's not just to cover and be like, it's okay, you know, we forgive them. Because in that, that's not really love. That's just turning a blind eye, being ignorant. It says, does not take into account a wrong suffered. The best way I can go about describing this is that I turn again to Ephesians 4:29, where Paul is instructing the Ephesians on how to speak to people, and it's speak to others in love. In 4:29, he goes, but only give such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So just because someone does something wrong doesn't mean you turn a blind eye. But rather, you should actually address the situation in a more positive manner. Like for, was it last year? I think it was last year during our anniversary. Pastor Rob Lee from Toronto came. He's a really prophetic guy. And so he was just giving us tips, pointers, and teaching us how to pray for people. Pray for people prophetically and how to give prophetic words. And one of the things he talked about was, when you give people prophetic words, and this is a helpful hint for everyone, when you pray for people and you feel this feeling, or you feel like God is trying to say something to this person, think first, is this word going to edify them? Like if God is going to show you this person is in sin, right? Or this person has an opportunity to, or has a really bad relationship to with their parents or whoever it is, and you receive this or you get the sense, does giving them this person this word, does it actually edify them? Because they already, most of the time, they already know what's going on inside. They already are dealing with whatever it is. Like if I am, I've said this to Cora a few times before, I know I'm a bad husband. In times we've been arguing, we've just been talking about something, like, I know, you don't need to keep telling me, right? That's kind of what, you know, people go through. And when we kind of re-emphasize, hey, you know, you did this thing wrong, right? They're like, it doesn't encourage them. And so what Pastor Rob Lee was saying, rather turn it around. How can you encourage them with this knowledge that you have? Right, turn to Ephesians 4:29. How can you say it in such a way that whoever hears it receives grace? How can you edify them? Right, it's not telling them, hey, you did a wrong, right? I'm going to take this into account. And it doesn't mean that you turn a blind eye to it. Like, no, I'm just going to leave this to the side. But how can you say it in such a way that you encourage them, you edify them with the word? And let's just talk about bad relationships with parents. If you sense that this person needs to work on their relationship with their parents or has a bad relationship, maybe God is saying, you have this amazing opportunity to spend time with your parents. And so instead of saying, God is saying, you know, you need to repent, right? Maybe we can say, you know, I feel like God really wants to restore your relationship. He wants to show him as a father to you. And from that, you will learn how, you know, your relationship with your parents can be restored. See, it's not so much as turning a blind eye to the negative part, but how can we focus on the positive? How can we encourage people with our love? Right? And I think that's what the conclusion I came to when Paul writes, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. It's not that I turn a blind eye to whatever situation is, but I look at that situation, and instead of saying justice must be served, how can I encourage my brother or my sister? How can I really speak truth into this person's life and show them I care? Another characteristic of love that Paul writes about that really emphasizes is that love bears all things, right? Not just tiny things and not just small things or selected things, but all things, including things that really irk me and rub me the wrong way. I have to love my brothers and sisters through it, whether or not they deserve it, right? Because to tell the truth, no one deserves that kind of love. Least of all, not me, but yet I have received it. And so, yeah, as we worship today, Pastor Nate, as we worship today, let Holy Spirit speak to us. Let's just reflect on that phrase in verse 5. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. I don't know, I'm sure you can think of one particular situation in your life where you are taking into account a wrong suffered. I can think of two off the top of my head. Let's repent of that. But instead of remaining in that place, like, oh God, I'm so sorry for holding on to it and focusing on our anger. Instead of that, let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us and to show us how we can speak truth and life into that situation. You know, how can we be patient? How can we be kind? How can we act becomingly in that situation? So as we worship, let's just open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware, these afflictions eclipse my glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affection. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion, and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Father, I just pray, God, that we open up our hearts to your presence. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. And Lord, help us not take into account a wrong suffered. Help us not focus on the wrong. But how can we lovingly edify one another, God? Edify those who have wronged us, God. Even it means not opening our mouths and talking to them, but forgiving them, doing something for them, Lord, to show, God, that our hearts are in the right place. And Lord, as you reveal what it is, God, in those situations, ways that we can edify, Lord, may you give us a strength to do it, God. May we cling on to you, Lord, in those times where we are overwhelmed by our anger, our bitterness, our hatred, Lord. May we cling on to you, Father, and know that you have shown us a better way, God. Fill us with your love, God. We thank you, Lord. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those in a community who are sick and suffering from various infirmities, but yet have to receive the word of Christ into their hearts. Let's pray for the family members as they pray for them and just continue to give them perseverance through this time. Let's pray for those in our community who are sick. Let's just pray for God's healing hand upon them. Let's pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray for openings and opportunities to come their way. Turning to a mission focus, pray for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, and SP New York. SP Singapore just had their fifth anniversary, so praise God for that. And let's just continue to lift up this church, that God continues to grow this congregation, not just in number, but each individual member, that they continue to grow spiritually. Let's pray for our education ministry, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and our college students. Let's pray for all the students, kids that are in the in the church. Let's pray for God's covering over them, and just pray that they continue to be rooted and established in Christ as they continue to grow up. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP, Well, and The River. Let's pray for our outreaches going on tonight, SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Let's lift them up to God and just ask for God's covering and the presence of the Holy Spirit with them as these teams go out. Let's lift up our house churches for tonight. East Bay, Olympic, Westville. Let's just pray for God's presence during the fellowship of these house churches. God, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your extravagant love. We thank you for your amazing love, God. And the fact that you pour it out on us so lavishly and without measure, Father, we thank you, God. Lord, I pray that for all of us, we come to know this love more and more. Lord, we see this love more and more. Open our eyes, God, and our hearts, Lord, to see it, Lord, to be aware, God, and Lord, just help us live out this reality, God, this reality of your love within us, Lord, and may it flow forth from us into our friends, our family, our colleagues, God, so that they too will see that it's not us, God, but it is you that is loving. You that it supplies us with this amazing love, Father. So we thank you, Father. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.